Hey, man, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Judges chapter 17. Judges 17, continuing on tonight on the subject of music. We'll probably be doing it at least a couple more Sunday nights, depending on how much material I can get gathered together. It will depend on when that happens, but Judges 17, it finally hit me, and I shared this with my wife this week, it finally hit me why we are in such a mess with music in the churches today, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. Judges 17, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, and Lord, we do want to follow you. Lord, we pray, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Father, we know that the world, the flesh, and the devil want to bring us down. And Lord, help us to begin to understand how in a matter of music, the world, the flesh, and the devil has almost totally conquered the world, even the churches, sad to say. And Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide and teach us tonight. Help us truly, Lord, to want to go your way, to do things your way and not ours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. You know, it finally hit me this week. That's the problem. And in the weeks to come, I'll be sharing with you conservative churches that consider themselves conservative in music, colleges that consider themselves conservative in music, and yet everyone seems to have a different standard. What is wrong? We're doing that which is right in our own eyes. Look in chapter 21, Judges 21. There's a lot in this world, a lot of talk about Christian liberty. But the Bible says not to use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And that is what is happening. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. Same thing. God chose Moses to lead his people. Moses was up on the mountain 40 days. What were they doing down below? Every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. They had a wild music. Didn't please God, didn't please Moses. They were dancing, they were naked. That's where we're at today. And what I find is the most common terminology overall, the excuse, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches now. If they want a beat to it, then all they do is add a name to it, and that makes it okay. And it's called Southern Gospel. That makes it okay to have a beat to it, and we'll see more about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. As we've been looking at this, what we have to understand is that God knows more than we do. And sometimes, whether it's through emails or communication of all types, people relate to me, well, I like this certain type of music. Now, if God says certain types of music are what he wants us to listen and play before others, then we have to realize that the other types of music are going to hurt us in one way or another. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that what? Thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he what? Fall. You see, I was raised in a Christian home and I took a lot for granted. And one of those things was music. My folks were not one to play the radio. Even back in the days when you probably could have played it and heard some good hymns. The only singing around our house was my mother. Us guys, didn't normally make an attempt at that, but she sang, and she would sing hymns. I never remember my mother singing an Elvis Presley song, never. She sang hymns. That's the way it ought to be. What we need to realize is that the wrong music is going to affect us. And there are so many more things that we need to cover. It's not only the beat, but the way you say it, that soft, sensuous singing that comes about because they hold their microphone. You know, you may wonder why people that sing here never hold their own microphone. Well, there's a good reason. Sometimes when people do, they get the idea that they're performing, that they're entertaining. And what that does when somebody holds their own microphone and put it right to their lips, it allows them to do some sensuous tricks with music. And we're going to be sharing more about that with you in sessions to come. But that soft, sensuous, that you probably don't even think about, but a lot of contemporary music is done whispering in the microphone, which gives it the effect of whispering in your ear. If it's Elvis Presley whispering in the microphone, driving the women wild, or if it's today's contemporary Christian women singers whispering. We're going to give you some examples of that. Whispering in the microphone, it's like whispering in all the men's ears. And that's wrong. It's sensuous. Even the world will admit that. So, but before we get on that, we need to remind ourselves, what is the rock beat? I've got my family, at least some of them, going around, you know, and they say, yeah, hear songs now. They're leading the songs, amen, or they're trying to figure out the patterns. The rock beat, even the world admits the rock beat. Well, there's three things. There's the boogie, there's the offbeat, and the breakbeat. But the offbeat is 2 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It gets you moving sideways. A march is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. That music sends you straight forward. The 2 and 4 is the offbeat. Now remember, even the world admits, and we're going to give you many quotes again tonight, even the world admits that is the offbeat. Dr. Frank Garlock says that's against our heart, the beats of our heart. And I'm going to try to get someone's heart beating on record, and we're going to compare it and see how the beats match up in a future session. So, but we need to finish up a little bit on classical music tonight before we continue on. One reason why classical music is often given a blanket approval is that people say, well, there's not the rock beat in classical music. Syncopation is the offbeat, 2 and 4. And even the world admits that there is syncopation, some syncopation in classical music. Wikipedia, I'm quoting, syncopation is used on occasion in many music styles, including classical music. And I probably should have got some clips of it for you. I did listen to some. And what I found was that normally in classical music, it's not the bass down there answering. Remember what we've talked to you about? If you want to try to discern what's right from wrong music, it's when that left hand is answering the right. Normally on the piano, the right hand would be playing the melody, and it's when that bass is offbeat with the right hand. It's answering it, and it makes the body want to move because it's emphasizing the offbeats. But in classical music, the pieces I listened to, often it was the opposite. It's the right hand, it's the higher notes that are syncopating. It's the higher notes that are offbeat. I have listened to many, many pieces this week from Christian groups. And what I'm finding in a lot of those is a lot of syncopation in the higher notes. And I'm trying to put my finger on it, exactly what they're doing. It's close to ragtime. Ragtime became known because the beats were played in a ragged manner. It wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. It was off the beats. Like when you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, and a piano's going, you know, these high notes. And I'll try to get you some samples of that. But It reminds me of saloon music. And yet there are multitudes of Christian groups that are using that. I mean, it would fit right back in the old westerns in the saloon. It's that the old saloon music is the high, ragged beat, the off beats, and a lot of groups are doing that. It's amazing. Well, we'll have those clips to come for you in the future here. So the first blanket approval of classical music because they say it has no syncopation or rock beat in it is false. Because even Wikipedia admits that it does, and I've listened to many clips this week, classical music that are syncopated, they're offbeat, and it makes the body want to move. Even the world admits that. Tina Turner, the old rock star, she says that music is naughty. Why isn't it that Christians will admit that? It's naughty music. When you're hitting the offbeat, it's naughty. You know, it's sad when Christians aren't willing to admit what the world knows. It's sad. The second reason why a lot of times classical music is given a blanket approval with no warnings is because they say, well, it's just sincere, honest music with the sounds of nature. Well, some is, and a lot is not. Much of classical music was written for ballets, which are dances. And we'll have some, and we'll show you in the days ahead about waltz music and other type of slower dances other than rock music. Tchaikovsky was just one example, and I read this to you part of it before, but let me just quote once again from the book, The Lives of the Great Composers by Harold C. Schoenberg. It says, Tchaikovsky and the ballerina were one. The world of ballet, the romantic fairy tale world, its glamour, its supple rhythms. This world comes up again and again in Tchaikovsky's music. Now, this is not a professing Christian. In this book, he says nothing about his religion, the author. It's not a Christian trying to pick on Tchaikovsky and saying, see, here's something wrong. This is a man of the world saying this. I go on, he says, the music reflected the man. He was a nervous man because he was afraid his sodomy would become open knowledge. Now, let me ask you this. If Michael Jackson had written some, just suppose tomorrow he got up and wrote a classical piece. You know, and it sounded like somebody was tiptoeing through the flowers. Would you sing it? I wouldn't. He's a character, that guy. Something wrong. Now, in this same arena comes opera music. And I had someone write in once and said, is it okay for Christians to listen to opera? And so, once again, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. What about opera music? I recently viewed a tape on Calvinism versus Arminianism. Brother Adams gave me the tape, and this man who did the tape said he got into all kinds of trouble when he dared tackle Calvinism versus Arminianism. And of course, he shows that Calvinism is not biblical. None of the five tulip points there are actually biblical. And of course, Arminianism is not biblical either. The biblical stance takes neither Calvinism nor Arminianism. But he got himself into trouble. And I realize right now why Rick Warren has been so successful. And I mean, Rick Warren right now is like a man who has churches set up like dominoes right to his door. And he says, and he knocks them down. I mean, church after church falls to his music. And I didn't understand it until I began this study, but now I know why. In conservative churches and conservative colleges, there's no standard. Everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes. And what I find interesting is that I've always known that I don't like certain music. I know it has a beat. I know it swings. And I tell you, when God spoke to my heart and I got away from rock music and then I started in with the Christian quartets, what I found is that my flesh loved that beat. And I had to give up that before I got the victory over that music. And what I'm finding is that Christians don't want to know. A lot of Christians do not want to know that there is a standard you can apply. They don't want to know. But there is. There is. And the more I study it, the more clearly I see there is a standard. And the more I don't understand why preachers are not willing to take a stand, other than probably they'd probably lose half their congregations or more. If the average preacher stood where he should on music, the average church would probably lose at least half of their people. And there would be huge congregations of Christian rock is what it would have. That's what it would be. And that is how it's going right now. They're gravitating to certain churches, and those churches are getting very large. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, a lot of them admit that they're not singing psalms and hymns, but they categorize it in the spiritual realm. And I'll show you tonight it's not. I'll show you tonight there's a gray-headed man who's saying we need to have evangelistic music. And I'm going to give you some samples tonight of what his evangelistic music is. And I'll let you see if you've learned enough in these last few weeks to tell what the music is. If you've been listening with an open mind, you know there's a standard now, and you'll see real quickly that he's wrong, real quickly. Now, in the matter of opera, does opera fit this? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One factor in opera is the understanding factor. And this is important in Christian music. How much of the words do you understand when someone is singing? And that is something that all of us have to work on. And of course, choir directors pull their hair out because people don't pronounce words precisely. If it has a T on it, put a T on it, you know? Be distinct, you know, in your words. What do we say? How do we talk? Give me some water. Would you pass the water? Is that how it's spelled? Water. Please pass the water. No, it's water. The choir directors just, pronounce those words so they can tell what you're singing. That is important. That is important, very important. And opera will certainly show you that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. We can apply a principle to operatic music, and of course, some people probably understand more of the words that are spoken than others, or sung in this case, but we can apply a principle from 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a what? A distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? A trombonist has to learn precise places to stop. I mean, they're out there. You may think it looks fun, you know? But I'll tell you, in band class, the director has a problem making sure they learn precisely where to stop, or they're off with each other. They're flat, they're sharp, and it's distinct sounds. Verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Even on the trumpet, on the cornet, there are a couple different areas where we would have to tune our horns. A couple of the bends, corners, whatever you want to call them. I forget what you call them. But we would have to pull them out or push them in. And it depends on how much you practice, whether you're flat. Someone says, "Hey, preacher, get out your cornet." You don't know how sick that would sound, I would have to practice. It's not just getting it out and blowing air through it. It's getting your lip, your muscles tight in there again, and giving a certain sound. I mean, a trumpet can sound full and rich and sweet, or it can sound like a cow that's sick, and just groaning in the field. So it's both ways. Verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except he utter by the tongue words, what? Easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak into the air? So, and as it says, as we go on there, verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. When I hear someone speak in Spanish, it sounds like a machine gun. I don't know where they stop and start with their words. Jeremy can do that now. But I don't know what they're saying, so it all sounds the same. Probably to them, we to them sound the same. It probably sounds like we're not stopping between words either, because we're barbarians to each other. We don't know what they're saying. That principle would fit not only an opera. If somebody's up here around high C, up and down, 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 I don't know what she's singing. Do you? I dare say many people who go to the operas don't understand half of what is being sung. Not half of what they're singing. According to here, if we're going to play an instrument, God wants us to give a certain sound. And that would certainly apply to singing. If we're going to sing, it's not just humming a tune. It's supposed to be giving a message. Unless you're humming through a verse for some reason. Otherwise, you should be able to hear the message of it. So, that's one point about the opera. And another point about the opera, so much of it's vanity. We have some clips we're going to share with you in future days about even in Christian music. It's one thing to have a beautiful voice. It's quite another to show off with it. It's one thing to be able to play the piano well or the violin. Many of you are playing the violin. It's one thing to be able to play an instrument well. But it's quite another thing to show off. I call it grandstanding. It's doing things that people look at you instead of the Lord. We don't want that. Notice in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. If someone is playing an instrument or singing and has in the back of their mind, boy, I'm going to razzle-dazzle them today. I'm going to hit high C today. It may be, way flat, but I'm going to make it today, We've got some examples to share with you about that. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God. You know what? If I stand up and sing, if I play an instrument, and if I get done, and you say, "Wow, preacher, I didn't know you could play like that. That was tremendous." Or, "Wow, preacher, I didn't know you could sing like that. That was awesome." You know what? I did it in the wrong way then. Because if I get done and you're thinking of me, then I didn't do that as a ministry. I just showed off. I was a show off. That's all I did. Do I want to end it? And I am not against great crescendos. And you may say, "What is a crescendo?" Well, it's you're just building up and building up and building up and building up. I have nothing wrong with great crescendos that I like fireworks. They have a great crescendo at the end that's called the grand finale in the fireworks room. I like to just feel the ground shake, on the 4th of July at the end. And I have nothing wrong with just feeling the floor shake, with people glorifying God. But that's just it. Leave it at a great crescendo that glorifies Him. Quite a difference in the way people can do things. So, those are a couple things about opera that, and actually, after I answered that man in regard to that, he did write back and told me that he found the words to an opera, and that particular opera was kind of dirty, actually. And he said he wouldn't recommend it just because of the words, which goes right back to it. Much of rock music, people don't even understand what they're hearing. As a boy, when I was listening to that, I didn't understand a lot of the words. It was the beats, it was the music that had its hold on me. Now, another thing about classical music in regard to the sounds of nature, some of it may have been written copying the sounds of nature, but even that, we have an example in the Bible course on music. Janáček was one illustration of this. He is a classical composer. And he said this, and I quote, "I listen to the birds singing. I marvel at the manifestation of rhythm in its million different forms in the world of lights, color, and shapes. And my music remains young through contact with the eternally young rhythm of nature." And nature was capitalized. Nature was being exalted. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 1. You are very familiar with this passage. And in this passage, what we find out is that when nature is glorified instead of the God of nature, you see, nature can be glorified as God, or God can be glorified as the creator of nature. And they're two totally separate things. In Romans chapter 1, and verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to what? Birds, and what? Four-footed beasts, and what? Creeping things." You see, when the children of Israel made a golden calf, God reminded them that they were made in the image of God. And what was that doing? It was making a monkey out of them, literally. If a golden calf is my God, then what am I? Well, if the calf is my God, then I'm lower than the calf. I'm lower than the animal. I've never had much doings with cows, but Brother Jim has. And Brother Jim, I'm sure, will back me up in this. He says cows are dumb animals. Is that right, Brother Jim? He's worked with cows. They're dumb. Sheep, you speak to sheep. Come on. That's why Jesus likens us to sheep. "I speak to my sheep. They hear my voice. They will not hear the voice of a stranger." Sheep are smart enough to recognize a voice and to follow it. Cows aren't that smart. You have to drive a cow. You lead a sheep, you drive a cow. And so this is a problem. Okay, some classical music, like Janáček, said he got some of his music from the sounds of nature. But the problem was, is he wasn't glorifying the God of nature. He wasn't glorifying God through the sounds of nature. He was glorifying nature, capital N. You know, it's kind of like I heard someone in the store, I don't know if it was this week or the week before, they said, "Isn't this weather crazy?" You stop and think about that. Who controls the weather? God. And it just hit me when she was saying that. And I mean, she was carrying on and on to the cashier. This is so crazy. Who are you saying that about? God. You're saying he's crazy. He's the one. He had his way in the whirlwind. He talked to Job about it. The secret of the hail and the snow. He's the one in control of all that. We better think twice before we say, isn't this weather crazy? We're really calling God crazy when we do that. So I'll let you also, and I mentioned this last week in the Bible course, deals with much about the lives. If you will honestly study the lives of the classical composers, you'll find out that they are just as wicked and vile as the rock stars are today. Verdi, Saint-Saëns, Debussy, Brahms, Wagner, Schubert, Berlioz, Chopin were all believed to be free thinkers or downright atheists. I told you last week, Handel was more attracted to the theater, and I told you last week, at the theater was the castrados, the young men. They had physically altered for their own profit. And he was more attracted to go there and write for that realm, even though he wrote some hymns. Haydn, Gottschalk, Scriabin, Debussy, Strauss, Puccini, Glinka, Charpentier, I'm probably saying some of these wrong. I'm not schooled in all this. Gounod, Brahms, Wagner, Verdi, Rossini, Liszt, Chopin, Berlioz, Weber, Schubert, Gorky, Purcell, Stravinsky, Poulenc, and others were said to have had immoral affairs. I mean, this is an unsaved man, as far as I know, writing this book, and he's just pointing out the way they live. I'll be sharing some quotes with you in the coming days, but do you know that sodomy is a terrible problem in the CCM crowd? CCM is Christian Contemporary Music. Sodomy is raging in that realm. It doesn't surprise me a bit, the way they live. Bono, the star of U2, admits that when he's a married man, he admits that when they're on the road, they live wicked lives. And a Newsmax magazine just recently featured Bono as some great, wonderful savior of sorts who's caring about the poor and the sick in the world. He's a wretched, immoral man, is what Bono is. It's amazing that his wife stays with him. And above that, supposed to be a Christian band? My, oh my. Tchaikovsky, Berg, Shostakovich, Zarevel, Ravel, others were either confirmed or accused sodomites. And it goes on and on and on. I was shocked when I looked at these things in that book. I thought, they're no different than Hollywood. They're no different than the rock bands. They're all vile and immoral. You know why they're so vile and immoral? Because they are taking part in sensuous things. And wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. And many of them have. You get like so-called Christian performers like Sandy Patty. Why could she just leave her husband and say, God has released me from you, and she takes another man? Why, almost without fail, all of these very popular singers become immoral? Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. They are putting forth sensuous music, and it's affecting they themselves. So, well, I don't want to take any more. I didn't mean to take that much time on finishing up classical music, because this is what I really wanted to cover tonight. I'd pull my hair out, but I don't have that much left. But when it comes to what's happening in independent fundamental Baptist churches, I could pull out my hair. I click in on their radio stations, which they claim to be fundamental and conservative, and I hear that 2-4 beat. Why can't we see what's going on? And then this week I received this paper, and this is what I really wanted to share with you tonight. This comes out of a paper called Regions Beyond, and I failed to write down the editor of it, but it's called Regions Beyond. This is from Volume 10, Issue 1. And there's an article in there about church organs by Dr. Jim Phillips. It's done in black and white, but he's either gray-haired or white-haired. He's not a spring chicken. He's old enough to know better. And this is what he says, I quote, "Traveling and preaching, I have observed that probably 19 out of 20 independent Baptist churches that I am in have a church organ, but no one playing it." So 19 out of 20 independent Baptist churches he goes to preach at, there's an organ, no one's playing it. Now, he says this. He's trying to encourage churches to get to play the organ again. He says, number one, an organ, especially a theater organ, and I want you to note this next phrase, played in an evangelistic style, fills up the building with music. He says, when you have an organ played in a service with the volume turned up, and then hear the service with only a piano, the service sounds almost hollow. Number two, he says, an organ can be played in many styles. An evangelistic church, here he goes again, an evangelistic church will not want the organ played in a formal style. What does that mean? Formal. And here's what he says. He's gonna tell you what he means. An evangelistic style might be similar to how an organ is played at a baseball game or a skating rink. He's starting to remind me of Rick Warren. He says, what we play in our church, what you can liken it to, is most TV commercials. Why, they're just hard rock. Most TV commercials are hard rock at about 3 times the decibel rating that the previous program was. So he's saying he defines evangelistic style of playing music as music that would come out of an organ at a baseball park or a skating rink. Now, I had been roller skating, I believe, twice when I was a teenager. And this immediately put up some red flags for me because you know what I found when I went to the roller skating rink? I found couples skating together. If you've ever been at one, you know what I mean. They had normally one or both their arms were around each other, and it was. You know what they were? They were dancing on skates. That's immediately what came to my mind when I went to the roller rink. They were dancing on wheels. And so I thought, I need to get some roller skating rink, and boy, that's kind of hard today to find organ music, roller rink music. Now, that's not easy. I'm going to ask Barry to get ready some clips here. The first one I want to play for you because I want to remind you what rock music is. Maybe you can tell me. What is rock music? It emphasizes what? Two beats? Two and four. All right, let's listen to number 41. Barry, I hope this is the right one, from Brother Alan Ives, evangelist out of a Wildwood Baptist Church, and I believe it's Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Number 41, okay.
Let me give you what the backbeat is. We add it to the boogie woogie, it just fits. And it's an accent on beat two and beat four. That's what Chuck Berry said, rock and roll guitarist. He said, I dig that rock and roll music. It's got a backbeat. You can't lose it. And so rock music always is accent two and four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. So forth. That's the opposite of a march. A march goes one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two. And that makes music march. The backbeat makes.
Okay. I think he says the backbeat makes it dance. Okay. So there you have it. It's on two and four. That is a standard. And this, the light is finally dawning on me. It's not hard for Christians and churches and pastors and colleges to see that that is a dividing line. If the beat is on two and four, it is rock music. It is a sensuous beat. Okay, I'm going to have Barry play for us now some clips. This is old-fashioned roller rink music. And if I can get in time with it, I'll try to do it. But remember, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. So when I go over the microphone, that is an offbeat. And when I go up, 1, 2, 3, 4. When I go over the microphone, that's an offbeat. If you hear something there, and when I go up, that's an offbeat. You shouldn't be hearing a definite beat on those two places. So if I can get in time, we'll try it. Let's do number 71. This is from an album entitled 22 All-Time Organ Favorites. Right on the front cover of the album, it shows a man and a woman roller skating. So this is roller rink music, number 71. This is called Yellow Roses of Texas. 2, 4. Hear it? 2, 4. Did you see it? 2 and 4. That beat, 2 and 4. That is a very distinct 2-4 beat. Okay, here's another one. Number 72 is called Autumn Leaves, the same album. A little slower. Skate a little slower. Okay, what did Chuck Berry say that was? That backbeat, it's the rock beat, 2-4. You look it up, the rock beat is defined as that 2-4. Jim Phelps is telling us to bring that he's saying that's evangelistic music. Okay, let's play one from the same album, number 73. This is called Canadian Sunset. The world says that beat is naughty. Why can't Christians? Here's a gray or white-headed man that's telling churches that is evangelistic music. And you mark it down about every camp meeting there is, that is the beat you'll hear. They're all saying, we need evangelistic music. Well, that is not evangelistic music. That is fleshly music. We'll do another one. Excuse me here. They take religious songs and do the same thing. Here's one from an album called Happy Melodies, The Magic Organ, and another roller rink album, number 74, When the Saints Go Marching In. See it? It's there. One last one, number 75. A little faster. Out there on the roller rink, they're dancing. Yes. Okay. How many of you ever been to an old-fashioned roller rink? Okay. Now, you know what I'm saying is true. And this is old-fashioned. Today, I got on some sites trying to get roller rink music, and I mean, it's not with an organ now. I mean, it's just the flat-out rock band type music now is all it is. This is the old-fashioned stuff. I'm giving Jim Phillips the benefit of the doubt. I hope he's not saying bring in the rock band, but he's talking about the organ and the roller rinks. You know what? The organ and the roller rinks was never an innocent thing. Never. The moment I walked in there and saw what they were doing, I knew they were dancing, swaying. 2, 4, 2, 4. Couples going back and forth. 2, 4, 2, 4. Evangelistic music? No, that's not evangelistic music. That is worldly, fleshly music. I'm going to remind you just of some quotes. This is the world. I can't understand Christians saying that music is evangelistic or innocent. The world admits, remember, rock is the 2-4 beat. These are all from Brother Cloud once again, wayoflife.org. These quotes, Deborah Harry says, the main ingredients in rock are, and once again for the world's three-letter S word, I'm inserting immorality. The main ingredients in rock are immorality and sass, or rebellion. Gene Simmons in the rock group Kiss says, that's what rock is all about, immorality with a 100-megaton bomb, the beat, that 2-4 beat. David Noebel, the truth is that rock and roll is moral hemlock. It is by nature a music of demonic rebellion and protest. Drugs and immorality are its arsenal. Deborah Harry of the rock band Blondie says, rock and roll is all immorality, 100% immorality. Doctors Daniel and Bernadette Skubick, rock music involves a neurophysiological conditioning. Our basic claim is that rock music itself induces a behavioral link between aggression and immorality. Those were doctors that said that. Here's one from John Oates of the rock group Hall & Oates. He says, rock and roll is 99% immorality. Frank Zappa says, rock music is immorality, the big beat matches the body's rhythms. Well, we'll see about the heart rhythm. Time Magazine, in a sense, all rock is revolutionary by its very beat and sound. It has always implicitly rejected restraints and has celebrated freedom and immorality. I guess that's what bothers me. It's not only the rock crowd that's saying it. Do you realize it's the church? It's Christians sitting in independent Baptist churches that don't want that restraint on them. They like that beat. Erwin Sibler says the great strength of rock and roll lies in its beat. It is a music which is basically immoral, unpuritan, and a threat to established patterns and values. Paul Stanley says rock and roll is immorality. Real rock and roll isn't based on cerebral thoughts. It's based on one's lower nature. And here's Jim Phillips saying, you dead churches, what you need is little roller rink music. Have you seen what roller rink music is? It's dance music. You can make an organ dance and make people dance through an organ. What about baseball music? Well, I went at it again. I found a site of Paul Richardson. He's the organist for the Philadelphia Phillies. And this is what it says. I'm going to give you a couple clips here. Of this album, it was written, it's lively, frolicsome, playful. Do you remember in Exodus 32, when they sat down to eat and they rose up to do what? Play. Baseball music, it's described here as lively, frolicsome, playful, light-spirited, full of fun, bouncy, peppy, romping, perky. But there's one word I didn't see in there from the world, and that was religious. Even the world knows that this music is going to reach the flesh. Romp and frolic. It says, describes the music Paul Richardson plays to entertain the fans as they enter the Phillies baseball park and make their way toward the seats. The tunes in this CD are part of that rollicking repertoire. It didn't say in here, this is the music that brings people to repentance and salvation. It says, this is the music that makes people rollick. Jim Phillips is in that paper was, here's a man who ought to know better. And what is he telling all these young preachers? It's no wonder our churches are going that way. Here's aged men like that, that can't say no to their own flesh, that dare to call that evangelistic music. It's fleshly. The world says it's, some of them say it's 100% immorality. Others say it's 99% immorality. And here's this preacher trying to get organists and churches to play roller rink music with that rock beat. You know what? They wouldn't play it in the roller rink if it didn't have a rock beat because they can't swing to it. I tell you, let's listen to this, a couple of clips. The first one is number 76. This is music by Paul Richardson on the organ. This is music that he plays for the fans at the Philadelphia Phillies games. Number 76. Swing with it. That's baseball music. Let's hit another one. Number 77, once again, by Paul Richardson. This is on his album, Frisky. You know, you notice his album is not called Fundamental? It's called Frisky. To make people move. Okay, let's try number 77. That's the rock beat. So Jim Phillips wants to bring that into the church. That's evangelistic music. Oh yeah, it'll fill the pews with immorality. You mark it down. These churches that play that type of music, they have their praise teams, their dance troops. You just watch the divorce rates. If you think it's bad now, you just watch it climb, and it will climb. It may have been before that it was people getting involved outside of the church with someone, but you mark it down, what will happen more and more and more in those churches is that you will find couples within a church splitting up and running off with each other. Why? Because they're up there singing that sensuous music. There is a standard. The problem is everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes. Can you see? Nod your heads or snore or something. So I know you're at least awake or out of it. Do you see it? I mean, can you see that 2-4 beat? The world says that's a rock beat. The world says it's... Tina Turner says it's naughty. It's a naughty beat. They know that. Elvis Presley knew it was a naughty beat. And that's why he liked it. And that's why all these Christian groups are so popular with kids. And that's why they're looked to as such idols. Because they're singing songs with a naughty beat. And it gets the girls to fall head over heels for those guys, and it gets the guys to fall head over heels for the female performers. And when you consider Romans chapter 1, it's no wonder, it's not only the ladies that are cooing and eyeing and whispering in the microphones, it's the guys. And it's a wretched, wretched scene. So that's what Jim Phillips says to do. You know, churches need to start playing their organs again, like roller rink music and like baseball parks. I've showed you tonight, the roller rink has always had that 2-4 beat in there. They've always danced on skates. You know, when I was a boy, I was at a camp one time, and someone got the idea that they wanted the whole camp to go to the roller rink. And there was one man in a Baptist church, and he says, no, that's not the place to send those kids. And oh, wow, was he Mr. Bad Guy. But you know what he really was? One honest guy out of a lot of people that weren't honest. The first time as a teenager, I went into a roller rink. And I tell you, it's a lot easier to go on roller blades than roller skates. So I had to hang on to my wife. I like to broke my neck. But and here's all these people dancing around the roller rink, moving to the music. 2-4-2. Four. They were dancing as they went around. And that was my first thought. Here I'm a teenager. That was my first thought. They're dancing on skates. And I can't even stand up on these skates. And they're dancing on them. And Jim Phillips goes on to say in this paper, he says churches ought to pray and fast and get the organs, someone on the organ playing evangelistic music. What a sad thing. That's his interpretation of evangelistic. And let me tell you something. It's not only his interpretation of evangelistic music. That is by far the major definition of evangelistic music. It's got that beat. If you play the old hymns, they say, oh, that's formal. That's dead music. Well, it's only formal and dead if you're spiritually dead or if you're saved and you're living for the flesh. You know what I find interesting is when Brother Jim asked for favorites, even children, I've noticed this time and time again, even children request the slower, precious hymns. Most of the time, the children don't request Victory in Jesus, which might be one of the peppiest hymns in our book. Sometimes they'll request songs like Day by Day, and with each passing moment. Strength I find to meet my trials here. Well, they're in school. You can understand that, can't you? But they associate with the hymns. They associate, and I've been amazed. I couldn't count on one hand, I don't think, the times in all these years that children have even asked for the song Jesus Loves Me, even though there's nothing wrong with that song. But so often they ask for the ones that are so rich in meaning. And they're not the peppy ones. So here we go. Turn to me, please, to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of what? Righteousness. Well, let me tell you something. I don't even know Jim Phillips. And he probably doesn't know me. And if he knew me, he probably wouldn't want to know me. But I'll tell you something. He is leading. How many ever people got that paper? He's leading that many people astray. Roller rink music is not spiritual. It's not evangelistic. Oh, yes, it'll fill a church house with lust, is what it'll do. It's a dangerous thing to go against God's word. Well, turn to me, please, to Jeremiah 23. We're almost done here. Jeremiah 23. I appreciate your great patience in these weeks as we talked about music. I'm learning so much as I go along, and I really am very disheartened that people don't see. I'm especially preachers. You know, the SMS tapes, which we've talked about before. You know what? They're telling preachers, you need to preach on music. Even if you don't know anything about music, you need to preach on the spiritual aspect of music. But you know what? Preachers need to learn something about music. If they don't know anything, they need to learn. There is a standard. If it has that 2-4 emphasis, those beats on 2 and 4, it is rock music. By definition, the world calls it rock. The world admits it's immoral. It's an immoral beat. And if Christians want to stick their heads in the sand, it's only because they love the beat. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. I can tell you something. Jim Phillips was not speaking, thus saith the Lord, when he said, get those organs back working and play them like in the roller rink or in the baseball park. That was not of God. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. It's these preachers and evangelists like him that are out there saying, hey, people have different tastes, different styles. Yeah, I know they do. And you know what? Finally, this week it hit me. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes in music. I like this. What you really need to say is, my flesh like this. Please don't take it away. It's like taking a pacifier away from a baby who's had a pacifier. You go through withdrawal pains, you know? Verse 17, ye shall have peace. And they say, every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Go ahead. Play your evangelistic music. It's okay. I was reading about one of the colleges. I was on their website, and I was reading, it said, now we hold to this music, but you students, just because we hold to the students, now don't you point the finger at anyone, or don't you say someone else is unspiritual because they play a different kind of music. Well, did God say something or didn't he? You know, did I miss something? If God says play psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, I've just proved to you that roller rink music is not spiritual. The world says it's immoral. Baseball park music does not appeal to the spiritual part of a man. It appeals to his flesh. Face it, any music in the world is going to appeal to your flesh. And you may say, well, do what you want, preacher, and I'll do what I want. I'm going to tell you the truth. And you're right. I can't make you do, and I don't want to make you do something, because if you aren't doing it from your heart, it's like a little child, you know, doing something because you told them, but inside, you know. It's like the little child who says, well, I may be doing it on the outside, but I'm not on the inside. You can tell it in their face, too, can't you? I no longer wonder why Rick Warren is conquering the world through his music and churches. I don't wonder anymore. I know. He's got the Jim Phillips and all the other crowd. You know what? We don't bow our knee to any other church. I don't bow my knee to Tennessee Temple, and it's a good thing I don't. Or we'd have a full rock band up here tonight. Hear that, or you'd boot me out. We need to bow our knee to one person. That's God. That's God. And there's false prophets. And they're saying, verse 17, no evil shall come upon you. Well, that's okay. We hold to this music, but it, you know, if you want to have your roll rink music, 2-4, 2-4, just go ahead. I'm not saying you're unspiritual. You know, I'm not saying that at all. You know, you just rock all night. You know, you just, yeah, man, man. You just go ahead. Years ago, I was asked to judge Word of Life competitions, and finally, one time, that was it. I sat in the back of an auditorium. It was the opening exercises. And that year, they were sending special Word of Life groups to Niagara Falls for a special treat. And so they had on their big screen, they were playing clips from all over the world, Word of Life groups from Japan and whatever other countries they had. But they were singing all these foreign languages, but to the old tunes, like, the old Rugged Cross or whatever it was. I obviously couldn't understand the words, but the music was our music. And so I knew they were singing hymns. Every group from around the world was singing hymns. The last group they played was the group from America. And they had that 2-4 beat. And I was sitting right at the back of the auditorium, and immediately when that began to go over the intercom system, you know what I saw kids doing? 2-4, 2-4 beat. And I just have a feeling that most of those kids had never learned how to dance. But you know what? Their flesh knew the beat. Their flesh knew. And I didn't go back. I didn't go back. And besides that, I don't think it's right to have competitions for preaching. I was supposed to judge young men for their preaching ability. Well, you know what? If the Apostle Paul was in a Word of Life group, he wouldn't have won any awards for his preaching. He said he was with the people in much fear and trembling, and he didn't speak with great words like orators do. The Apostle Paul wouldn't have won any prizes for his speaking ability. And you know, there's probably some humble little boys there who are preaching who never won anything. But I bet you their hearts were right, and some of these big shots who could stand up there and act like a big preacher telling everybody what to do and how to get there were probably so filled with pride. I said, that's enough of it. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. You read Jeremiah 23. That's just what's happening today. And you talk about fasting. Look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. This whole chapter is about fasting. This man, Jim Phillips, is asking us to churches to pray and fast that the organs would get back in use. Evangelistically. Roller rink music. Baseball park music. What is it? It's the 2-4 beat. It's the rock beat. Isaiah 58, cry aloud, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in reproaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? And on he goes, they weren't fasting for the right reasons. And let me tell you something. Here, our church is actually going to do that? Start fasting and praying for an organist to come and play baseball park and roller rink music in the church? That's not evangelistic. That's of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world says that beat is, some of them say it's 100% immorality. Some of them say it's 99% immorality. Some of them say it's naughty. They all say it's immoral music. That beat is immoral. Well, you've been very, very patient again. This is probably turning into one of the harder series that would rank up with what I've ever preached. But you know what? I want to be able to sleep at night. And I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a standard. It's not Mike Austin's standard. All you have to get out is the dictionary and do a little research, and you will see the same thing. The 2-4 emphasis is a rock beat. The world is filled with people who confess it as an immoral beat. It makes them want to do sensuous, immoral things. You can call that beat anything you want. You can call it Negro spirituals. You can call it Southern gospel. You can call it bluegrass. You can call it roller rink. You can call it baseball park music. You can call it anything you want, but you know what? There's a standard. And that standard says it's wrong. It's not my standard. There's many voices out there saying it's the wrong beat. It's a sensuous beat. To call that beat evangelistic is pure hypocrisy. Pure hypocrisy. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And oh Lord, help us to be like in the days of old. Elijah stood up on Mount Carmel. He stood alone. There were 7,000 that agreed with him, but they wouldn't say amen. Oh, Lord, do we really have it in us to be willing to stand for what's right? Oh, Father, you've so pressed upon my heart this week that there really is a clear standard. But in this day and age, in independent Baptist churches, every man just wants to do that which is right in his own eyes and does not care what's right or wrong in the matter of music. Lord, you've taught me much in these last few weeks why that wrong beat is wrong and how to discern it even more. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give thy people discernment. Help them to see, to be able to pick it out. Not only that it sounds wrong, but why it's wrong. Lord, there is a standard. There is a clear standard. And now tonight, Lord, we have a choice. Are we going to admit it? Or are we going to go the way of our flesh and say, I like that beat. I think I'll call it by a different name so I can like it and it's okay. Lord, help us to see tonight there is a standard. We have a choice. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.